Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
So Brad, in the further saga of my Disney trip, free dining has been announced.
Yay! Well, because that's what you were waiting for, right?
Well, waiting in that, like, we would have to email the travel agent and change our reservation and stuff if it ended up working out with our dates. But it doesn't, and so it's really of no consequence to anybody.
So what were your dates again?
November 30th to December 6th.
So
and
this
free
is...
dining. Free dining is July 5th to September 30th. So it really does not mesh at all. There's a whole 2 months between when free dining ends and when we get there.
So, yeah, not even a little bit close.
Yeah, now, it wasn't like a, are we going to change our plans based on this? There
now
was
has,
no consideration.
Has free dining always been like, I see a 5 day or 5 night, 6 day stay required. Has it always been that long?
I don't know if it's always been that long, but it's been, there's always been a requirement. Maybe it was four days, 5 nights before. I don't know. It's always been long. Like you couldn't get free dining and stay for 2 days.
So you're going to be working the gift card, pretty hard.
Yeah. And like eating quick service meals and stuff. There's like California Grill and the Cellier and stuff like that are places that we, you know, gotta eat. Those are our must haves. But for the rest of the meals, I mean, we'll just eat whatever. It's kind of, so the freedom of having the dining plan is that you don't have to worry about the price anywhere. But you kind of have the opposite freedom when you're not going to use the dining plan. And that, like, you have the freedom to eat wherever you want and not have to worry about wasting a credit.
Yeah, you can't go, oh, I'm just not that hungry, so I think I'm going to get this. No, you have to get the most expensive item on the menu or else you're just throwing that away.
That was the nice thing about the free dining was it's like the... So if you pay the $800 or whatever for the dining plan, absolutely, you need to get the most expensive thing. You need to, even if you don't want a soda, you need to get a soda because you're striving to get your money's worth. And that was the nice thing about free dining is that, like, there is no perceived cost. There is a real cost in that you pay the rack rate for the room. So the room costs more than it would normally, but there's no perceived cost. And so there's not that feeling of, like, I need to get my money's worth because it's, you know, quote, free. So,
but because we're getting my money's worth or whatever.
Right. So we're going to just do the whole, like, you know, some days we're going to eat two quick service meals. Some days we might skip lunch, you know, whatever, like eat an early dinner. But as long as we can eat at California Grill, Le Cellier and Ohana, those are our three places. And then, we have to go to Kona Cafe on the last morning. That those three places and Kona for our final breakfast are our kind of Disney traditions, Disney food traditions. Anything else is up for grabs.
And all of those things should be easily doable, right?
So reservations at California Grill are really the only thing that's tough.
And that's why you have a person doing all this for you this time.
Right. And I also have the card of whoever was head of reservations at California Grill, who gave me her business card because she came to our table and asked, you know, how we were doing. And we said, you know, this is our anniversary celebration trip because that year we'd kind of like foregone anniversary gift and birthday gifts and stuff and just kind of lumped all that into a Disney trip. And I said, yeah, the only, like, we love to eat here. The only thing was, you know, it's really hard to get a reservation. And she went, next time, just email me. And she gave me her card. So I have that, I guess, if I need it. But yeah,
well, then, plan, Mr. Braggy Brag.
Our plan is to just tell our travel agent, these are the three places we need to eat. Doesn't matter what night, doesn't matter, you know, what time. Just please make it happen.
Make these things happen, and we'll figure out the rest of our schedule after we know when we're doing these things.
Right. And, yeah, that's going to be the other thing is we're not doing park hoppers. And so nights that we want to eat, like when we want to eat at Le Cellier, we have to make sure we go to Epcot that day. Because if we don't, we're not going to be able to get in.
Right. And so until you know what day you've got Le Cellier, you really can't get your park or your...
Fast pass.
So you can get your fast passes, but everything's just going to be up in the air at that point anyway.
Right. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, we might end up adding park hoppers back onto our ticket just for that reason. Because, you know, like, if we want to eat at Le Cellier one night and then eat at Tepaneto another night, that would mean without park hoppers that we'd need to have two full Epcot days. And we may not want to do that. You know, I don't know. So we may end up, I think it's $125 to add the park hopper for both of our tickets. So it's not that expensive.
Or but instead of eating at Tepaneto, you could go to Morimoto in Disney Springs with that extra $125 on top of whatever you were going to spend at Tepaneto.
Sure.
Just saying.
But it's different. I mean, that's...
Oh, I totally know that it is. I totally know that it is.
It's different to eat an Epcot in the World Showcase.
It is. It is.
I do like that the free dining, you know, like, so usually free dining, there's usually like a week in April that is free dining. There's usually like a 2 or 3 weeks, I think, in the summer that's free dining, which is where the July 5th to September 30th time is fitting in, turns out.
Right.
And then there's usually the week after Thanksgiving. So the week after Thanksgiving is out this year, and apparently last year too.
But this year,
because there's some pretty big things coming to Walt Disney World. I just think it's kind of funny. I mean, it totally makes sense, but I would bet you that the plan is to open Star Wars Land or open Galaxy's Edge like October 5th or something. They haven't announced a date, but given when these free dining ends, there is just no way that the free dining is going to overlap with Galaxy's Edge being open. So I think we can pretty definitively say Galaxy's Edge will open after September 30th.
Yeah, you know, anything, I guess there's always the possibility that that's not the case, but yeah, you're right that it's totally going to be the case. So
I just can't imagine they would, and if they thought Galaxy's Edge was going to open in mid-September, that they would allow 2 weeks of free dining to overlap with the opening of Galaxy's
Edge.
Yeah, it's not
quite busy enough, so let's also give a bunch of people some free food and see if that doesn't play. Yeah, so I would agree with you that we can definitely say Galaxy's Edge is... We can definitely say that it's probably not opening before September 30th. Definitely probably.
Because, like, you know, we should probably talk a little bit about the specifics of it. Like, I think in the last 2 years, Disney changed it to where, or maybe three, to where the, what are the cheap hotels? What are they?
Value Resort.
Value. The Value and Moderates both get a quick service dining plan for free now. If you want to upgrade to the table service dining plan with one table service credit per day, you have to pay the difference, which is important to note, again, because there's that perceived value, or perceived cost, I mean. And then if you're in a deluxe resort, you get the table service dining plan for free. So it used to be that only the values got the quick service dining plan and moderates and deluxes got the table service. But in the last, I think it was that way the last time Claire and I went for a week, that we had to pay the difference on the table service dining plan. So that would have been 2014. So it's been, I guess, 4 years now that it's been that way.
See, I didn't even know the moderates ever had that option. I mean, had the table service, I guess.
The first two times we went, so our honeymoon and then the next year when we went, we stayed at Coronado and got the table service dining plan for free during free dining. So it did used to be that way, but not anymore.
Which was actually a really, really sweet deal that you were getting at that point.
Yeah, especially on our honeymoon. I mean, the entire cost with flights of our honeymoon was $2,800. And that was 7 days and 6 nights, two round trip flights from Houston to Disney on United.
Mm-hmm.
Booked through Disney. Booked, like, I called them on the phone and booked it. And I believe our hotel was $140 a night to stay at Coronado for that week. I mean, it was not bad at all. So this is kind of a bummer because, you know, obviously it's better to pay less and get more, but.
Really? Wow. That's outstanding to point out, but. Yeah.
But again, that perceived value goes down because, you know, to get the quote free dining table service now, you have to be paying, you know, the $300 to $600 a night the deluxe resorts cost.
Or you just pay for the upgrade and
or you pay the difference, the, you know, $400, $300, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's be honest, what you do is you just pay the upgrade price because that's still going to be way cheaper than a deluxe resort's going to be.
Yeah.
Unless things have changed a lot about the dining plan, you know, because let's see, I'm looking right now, and you can go from the quick service on a 6 day, 5 night from 1957 to 20. So you're talking about like $230 is the difference between the two.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, and then you have that crazy dining plan where you get two table service credits per day.
Yeah, that one is a little more, you know, it's like $640, $650 extra. Where it's three
lot
quick
of dining,
or table. Dude, yeah. Can you imagine just even fathom trying to fit three table service meals in a day? Like, I can't even fathom trying to fit a signature in a table service in a day.
Yeah. I could not do table service for lunch and dinner, I don't think. And we've done it both ways where you have, you know, table for lunch and then just get a quick service dinner. But yeah. I can't imagine doing even two tables in one day. That would be nuts.
Yeah, that's a like I said, because the
signature, a lot of formality.
Yeah, the signature goes a really long way. Or three table service meals. Oh, and don't forget, you've still got your two snacks per person on top of all of that. And I can't use my two snacks per person when I'm on the quick service dining plan.
Yeah.
So
that was so funny how, like, on the last day, we always have like 8 snack credits left over.
And then
we
get Zebra Domes, lots and lots of Zebra Domes.
We get Mickey ice cream sandwiches.
Eh.
Zebra Domes are for the birds.
No, you're doing it wrong. You're doing everything wrong. Okay. I did eat dinner right before we recorded, but I'm starting to get a little hungry. So let's get off this topic because that's not healthy for me to want to go and try to find a copycat recipe for Zebra Domes, google.com. Okay. Anyway.
So over the past few weeks, there's been quite a saga, quite an exciting chain of events happening over in Epcot.
Wait. Before you claim that Epcot has the exciting chain of events, there's been an exciting chain of events happening in random news that happens to involve Epcot, I feel like is a more accurate description of this. Yes?
Yeah. I mean, and the validity of said random news is questionable, but gosh, if we can all just think back to the past when Wonders of Life when Wonders of Life was a thriving attraction and there were tons of people there and there was a guy named Buzzy.
A kid named Buzzy
who took you on this wonderful trip through, I don't know, Brad. I never did Wonders of Life, so I have no idea what.
Basically,
what it's all
you
about.
Were. So have you ever seen this movie? It involves emotion. It's called Inside Out. Have you seen Inside Out?
Why, yes, I have.
Okay, so you've seen Wonders of Life. It's kind of it was the same sort of thing where you're in a kid's head, and you're seeing as things are being experienced, and Buzzy's kind of navigating, and there are all these different aspects of his body now. Not emotional, it was actual physical things going on. But yeah, so that sort of thing and it had all these animatronics in it that, you know, represented different parts of the body.
So there, apparently, Wonders of Life has sat vacant since it closed.
And, for a long time, yes.
Yeah. And so this Buzzy animatronic has just been sitting in there. And there
which
was...
Which is kind of creepy if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Just,
I mean,
just
he's
sitting there, eyes half open, I'm sure.
Staring. Well, it depends on if he blinked. If he wasn't an animatronic who blinked, then his eyes are just wide open.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's true.
Through his little, through his big glasses.
Yes. Like, yeah. Yeah. No, not little. Not little at all. Yeah.
But so there was this like crazy story one morning where like every Disney Twitter was aghast. And Backdoor Disney was saying, like, I've talked to the police. The like crazy things are happening. Buzzy has been stolen. This animatronic was stolen. The police have showed me pictures of hydraulic fluid everywhere. Like, this animatronic is stolen. And everyone was freaking out. And then, so that was, I woke up, I guess probably 7 o'clock that morning, and all this had, you know, had happened overnight. And then probably about 10 or 11, the, like, I guess people calmed down a little bit and they started asking, like, how? Because Buzzy is not a huge animatronic, but he's pretty big. And people started to do the math on, like, how many people would you need? And how much would Buzzy weigh? And what kind of in like knowledge would you need to know, or would you need to disassemble an animatronic like this? And, you know, it just started to kind of seem weird. Like, people who were familiar with animatronics were like, you probably weighed 1,500 pounds, and you would need, you know, a lot of people. And you would need a truck very close by. And, like, how would they do that? How would they get backstage without anyone noticing with a vehicle? And how would they get him off of his high-up post?
Yeah, essentially, it had to be a really, really, really inside job for somebody
to crane.
And in fact, when you, texted me and said this, I said, okay, so this was an inside job, right? Because there's no way... You
Absolutely.
Walk off with an audio animatronic without
right.
it being
but
an inside job.
But you would need equipment. Like,
yes.
the whole thing was, like, they would have needed a crane or something. And so, like, people were kind of questioning. There was no evidence, like, other than this just hearsay. There was no evidence. There was no police report or anything.
But the police showed him pictures, dude.
Yeah, yeah. And then people were like, Backdoor Disney got arrested. Like, he's at the police station. He got arrested. And so then a couple days later, there was an article that, and we'll put it in the show notes, that was like, I'm really sorry, but Buzzy has been marked for removal since like 2012. And the hydraulic fluid happened on its own in like 2011. Like, that was a thing. Like, something happened and
probably part of the reason
spread everywhere.
That Cranium Command suddenly wasn't open anymore.
Right. And so, and just all this stuff, like, it's nothing. There, he wasn't stolen. He was removed. And there were, in that story, there are pictures of, like, a tag on Buzzy that says, like, marked for removal, do not destroy, you know, stuff like that. And then the story became his clothes are missing. That someone stole Buzzy's clothes, which makes much more sense.
And that version of the story actually has a police report associated
yes.
with it and is actually being carried by, you know, real media. An actual ABC affiliate is carrying
right.
this, not
right.
Disney Twitter. Though that is, to me, the most interesting part of the story, right? Because it says... His clothing is stolen. And I'm
right.
like, okay, so somebody stole the clothes. Whatever. Investigators say someone sneaked into a backstage area that's not open to the public and took a red jacket, a green cap, right? Yeah, okay, clothes. and rubber molded hands. What? In what world is rubber molded hands part of clothing? And there's somebody walking around with audio animatronic hands.
But it makes hands will fit in your pocket. And a jacket will fit in a bag. You know, like this person, whoever stole the clothes and the hands, whatever creepy monster stole hands.
Hands.
Yeah.
They look actually, like they look like kids' hands. There's somebody walking. There's somebody who was walking through Epcot with children hands in their pocket. Like,
dude, but you know that they made a buck off of those hands.
A buck or a couple thousand, but yeah. Uh-huh. Oh yeah. They definitely made their money off that, but that is just.
But see the thing that makes it, so this creepy. Whole the clothes and hands makes so much more sense. And I don't doubt that Backdoor Disney, whoever he is arrested, because he would be, if I was the police, he would be my first suspect, because he finds his way backstage seemingly impossible places. Like, he would definitely be my first suspect. But stealing the jacket, the hat, and the hands stinks to me of, holy cow, I'm back here where I'm not supposed to be. What can I take? And if you saw the jacket, you saw the hat, that's easy. That folds up real nice, fits in your little backpack or whatever. You see the hands, maybe there were extra hands or something that he stole, or maybe he, you know, tried to pull on them and they were loose. I don't know. But to me, this story where the clothes and hands are missing makes total sense, because desperate person going in and trying to steal whatever they can, take whatever they can. The story where someone stole a 1,000-plus-pound animatronic and had equipment in a truck and everything, like, ready to go, makes no sense. And I think it's hilarious that Disney Twitter just went bananas for a non-existent story.
But again, that's we all fall susceptible to the echo chamber, you know, and everybody wants to be in on the story, and something that incredible just sounds like something that you want to talk about. So
yeah, I know, it sounds crazy.
I get where it comes from, but again, dude, hands. And yeah, maybe you were pulling the jacket off and off come the hands. And to, you know, talking about the whole whether or not anybody was, you know, in jail or arrested or being questioned or what. The police report was from back in August.
Yeah.
So this wasn't when all of this broke in this late December, this was no longer the cops haven't given up or anything, but this wasn't fresh news either. This wasn't something that had just happened.
Right.
Because the cops got involved in August.
I'm sure Disney knows, like, they know who bought it, you know? Like, I'm sure they figured out who bought the stuff.
Or is there some sort of, like, dark web for Disney paraphernalia?
A Disney Silk Road.
Yeah. I didn't... somehow this stuff got sold. Right?
I would think, I would think.
Or somebody's keeping in their house and they just take those hands every night and caress them and remember when they got out clean.
I would think that someone who would buy stolen property, like, because you're going to sell this as, I took this from Cranium Command. Like, you're not going to sell this as, oh, look, it's a jacket and a hat that look just like Buzzy's, right? It's like, wink, no, wink. I took this. This is real stuff.
Well, because otherwise it's not worth very much. I mean, it's worth, you know, the time that it took somebody to create a realistic looking replica, but that's not nearly as much as legit stuff that was used at Disney.
Right. So I would think that someone who would traffic in that, who would buy such an item, would probably want to stay anonymous, you know, would probably want that transaction to not be broadcast, to not be public. And then they can just put those things in a display case in their house and look at them and never tell anyone where they got them for whatever the statute of limitations is. However many years that is, you just keep them and don't say anything.
Again, all I know is I really want to believe that whoever took these sold them, because the other option is infinitely more disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Because of the hands.
Yeah. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.